By the way, we have something before us that we need to take care of. We bought bus number 11 from Ravenna School System, and it was it needed some repair, and we knew it. We've been using it the whole time, but we finally have gotten it to a place that gave us a diagnosis on what it would be to get it fixed. It's got a transmission issue, and we would like to go ahead and try to get that fixed. We're going to need just under $2,000 to get it fixed. We're going to need to start taking up an offering for that. That bus is being used in a great way in the Kent route. We need to get that thing fixed as soon as we can. Preacher, if it's all right, we can take up an offering tonight for that bus, if that'd be all right. We'll try to get that thing paid for. We need to get it back in service as soon as possible because the Kent route is doing real well. But if we bring it's all the way up in Cleveland right now because the mechanic that usually works on our buses suggested that place to us because they would be the cheapest, the most honest, and they would take care of us. And I believe they have. I believe a $2,000 repair on a diesel bus like that is a cheap repair. I don't know about you, but diesel repairs are ridiculous. So I believe that place has taken real good care of us. But we as a people, we need to rise up and go ahead and take care of that bus and make sure that gets paid. So we're going to take up an offering for that tonight. If you want to put it in today still, you can do that. Give it to either Brother Bill, Preacher, or myself, or whatever, and we'll make sure it gets in. But yeah, and mark it bus. But we want to make sure that we get that done and get that bus back on the road. Amen? Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah. That is an O2, which is the newest we've ever owned, I think. That's the newest we've ever owned.
We paid $8,000 for the 1999.
Right. Right.
$8,000 for it. And we got the city to really convert about it.
Yes. Right. Yep. We knew this was coming when we bought it. I mean, we knew we had to make some repairs to it. We talked to Brother Danny and his brother, and his brother said what it might be. And we don't want to ruin the bus. It needs repairs. We don't want to ruin it. It's still going down the road. But if we ruin the bus and we have to put $10,000 worth of repairs in it, then that wasn't being a very good steward. So we took it up there this last week, and Brother Sean and Brother Bill took it up there. And praise the Lord, it's only $2,000. If we could get that bus on the road running perfectly for $4,000, good night. We've never done that. I mean, we just have never been able to do that. And amen. Praise the Lord. So there it is. I just want to let you know about it. And we'll go ahead and take up that offering tonight. But please give to that bus. That it is so important to bring those kids in. It is so important to go to that Kent route and pick those kids up. They're doing a great job in Kent. And even if they were doing a crummy job in Kent, we need to have that bus running. We really do. That's what we do. And we need to get that running. So praise the Lord for those men taking care of that for us. By the way, another thing too, Fran Cooley is alive. We talked about that last week, and the rumor was starting to go around. We lost her. We didn't know where she went. She wasn't at home, and those kind of things. It's hard to track people down, but we got her tracked down. She's at Bonnie's Home Health Care, 4826 New Milford Road, Ravenna, Ohio. I'm going to leave this on the back table. If you'd like to send her a card, that would be great. That way she knows we're thinking about her, and we'll get up there this week to make sure we see her. But I just got that address this morning. All right? All right. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Everything in my heart on Veterans Day wanted to tell you about Pearl Harbor. Everything. I really did. I had it in my mind to do it. I believe that's the way the Lord was going to lead me to do it, but the Lord would not give me liberty. Pearl Harbor was a day that changed my life forever. No doubt about it. I had the wonderful opportunity to go there. If you ever have a chance to go to Hawaii, don't come home. If you ever have a chance to go to Hawaii, make sure that you go to Pearl Harbor. One of the greatest days of my life. I will never, ever, ever forget it, being able to go there and be at that battlefield. But don't have the liberty to do that today. But I do want to tell you this. Our country today is in a battle. And it's a country worth fighting for. I'm not willing to just sit by and not say things that need to be said. I'm not willing to have these fine folks that stood up for us today and fought. Brother Bill Lang bleeding over in the rice paddies in Vietnam. I'm not willing for them to give their life and not fight for the country that they fought for. Because just because we're not in the service, and by the way, it was my dream to go into the military. I desperately wanted to go into the military. I believed I was a poster child for the military. I wanted so badly to go. I went all the way to Cleveland. 15th floor of the MEPS building. Standing there in one of the most embarrassing positions you can be in. All for love of country. And a man looked at a spot on my body that was psoriasis and said, "What is this?" If I tell him it's a cigar burn, I ship that day. But I told him it was psoriasis and they kept me out of the military. Broke my heart. It really did. I wanted so badly to be. That's why I believe with all my heart I love soldiers so much. Because they went where I couldn't go. They did what I couldn't do. And I love them for it. Oh, you may not feel that way. But I believe they provided me with freedom. You say, well, they fought in Vietnam. That provided me with freedom. I'm glad they didn't come over here to fight. So you must understand something. We live in a country that is worth fighting for. We live in a place that is worth fighting for. In the Bible, God gives us direct promises that if we seek Him out and seek His face and humble ourselves and pray that He will turn from our wicked ways, He will hear from heaven and He will deliver us as a people. I believe that we've got a country that's worth fighting for. These may be bywords in other people's thoughts. I want something to be able to pass on to my children and to the generations following that still follow Christ. We've got a country that's worth fighting for. The soldiers may not know that that's what they were fighting for when they went in. They may not realize that they were fighting for the freedom of a nation to love Christ and to love God. But God promised us that if we would be a good people, a good Christian nation, that He would take care of us. And it is not arguable that He's taken care of us. Can't argue the point. I don't care how many people tell us we're not a Christian nation. It doesn't take away the truth that we are. I'm so tired of hearing folks saying, well, it's going so bad. Well, let's make it better. This is what amazes me. I'll get to the Bible here in one moment. I got pet peeves in me. I'm loaded with them. You want to complain about the things that are going on in this world, fine. But you know how to fix it? Get people saved. And let me tell you something, brother. That's a great point. Let me help you out a little bit with this, too. What can one vote do? Let me think about this for a moment. I'm not going to get into politics today. I'm telling you, we got a country worth fighting for. One vote may not do much. But you start getting people saved, you start seeing more votes. Let's not worry about what the politicos are talking about. Let's worry about what Jesus is talking about. What can we do? What can we do? Wicked abounds. Well, let's make good more abound. Let's talk about Christ. Let's get people saved. You know what? That's our job today. And all the veterans that stood up fought for the right for me to do that. Fought for the right for me to have freedom. Fought for the right for me to be able to speak about Christ. Fought for the right for us to come over here and literally have a nation that loves God and talks about God and sings God Bless America at baseball games. I'm going to tell you right now, our country is not gone. It is not gone. It is not gone. Let me keep helping you out with that. Look, it is not gone. It is not gone. We're not going to sit here and wait for Jesus to come. No, we're not. Why? Because they fought for this country, and I'm not willing to let their service go in vain. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Let's all stand together. One, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 18, and we're going to read all the way down through 22. But as God is true, our word toward you is not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. I want you to see this now. For all the promises of God, how many? All the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God said, I promise, and God's going to keep it. I promise, and God's going to keep it. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Colton, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please, oh God. Amen. You may be seated. What in the world? What in the world do these verses have to do with Veterans Day? I'm going to tell you, I mulled over this and mulled over this and mulled over this. And I got to thinking about folks like Bill Lang. I got to thinking about folks like my grandpa. My grandpa was in the Death March of Bataan. My grandpa got medals for carrying a man on his shoulder. My grandpa was 5'2". 5'2". He was my step-grandpa, but I always knew him as my grandpa, and he was 5'2". Toughest man I ever met in my entire life. Tried to teach me how to box once. I've always been ornery. I know you don't believe that, but I've always been ornery. And my grandpa was trying to teach me how to box. I was southpaw. I'm left-handed, so he taught me how to stand and everything else. And we were going back and forth, and he's showing me how to jab, 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 jab. And he never lost a fight. I saw so many records. He had this big, long portfolio of all these records. 92 years old. By the way, he got saved at 91. I went and visited him. And I'll tell you this story because it's the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. I said to myself, you know what? I got to go witness my grandpa. And by the way, I hope and pray that you go witness to your relatives. I really, really do. Don't let them go to hell. Do not let your relatives go to hell. I want to start talking to my grandpa. My grandpa had dementia. He was starting to fail mentally, and my aunt called me. She's crying because he didn't remember who people were half the time and those kind of type of things. And she said, I don't know what to do. Your uncle's talked to him. Folks have talked to him, but he just won't get saved. And I got there and started visiting with him. We talked for a few hours, and he opened up this big black portfolio, and he had a paper, original paper, an original paper, Pearl Harbor, original paper. December 8, 1941. Well, you know what December 7 was, don't you? Well, December 8, he had the original paper. It was in his portfolio. I don't know if that's worth anything, but boy, it sure did look cool to me. I was reading through some of these things, and my grandpa wrote some articles. He was a boxer, and I'm going to tell you, he fought the fair circuit. He fought back in those days, boxing was a big deal. Boxing, everybody knew everybody in boxing, and it was on the TV all the time, big deal. And my grandpa was one of those little contenders that would go around fighting the fair circuit that would give you 3 minutes. If you could knock him down in 3 minutes, you'd get $50. My grandpa fought 50, 60 times a night. He would fight those rounds. He never lost one time. Matter of fact, nobody ever even hit him. So here I am, a little brat kid. You know, I'm going up to my grandpa. Grandpa, teach me how to box. He's trying to show me how to box. So I'm going, yep, yep, jab, 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 jab. And as I'm just little, I'm like 8 or 9 years old, jab, 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 jab. And he come and got too close to me. I didn't realize what I was doing. I swung with my left, and boy, I caught him right on the jaw. I caught him right on the jaw. It didn't spin his head around. I'm only 8, okay? But it made him mad enough, just real quick, mad enough that I woke up about 2 minutes later. I'm going to tell you, fat lightning quick hands, boom, and I just don't remember anything after that. He was trying to wake me up, but he started laughing at me, had the greatest laugh in the whole wide world. But my grandpa was a hero to me. He was a hero to me, and I start thinking about these folks, and I don't care what the politics behind the wars was. I really don't. I see God's hand on our country. Now, we talk about this is why things happen, and this is the horror of it all, but I got to be honest with you. I like to see how God moved in this country. Don't tell me that God didn't move to keep the Germans back. Don't tell me God didn't move during the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. Don't tell me that God didn't move. God was in control of all those things. And as I looked around the room and saw you veterans stand up, and I looked around the room and I saw you folks standing there proudly, and you should be. You should be excited about what you did, because I believe that God used you in your life to help me to have the promises that God has given me. How do these things go together? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Can I ask you something? Brother Carl, is what you did with your life in the military, is it still worth fighting for? I want you to think with me for a little bit. Is this country that we have still worth fighting for? Is this country that you live in today talking about the promises of God, and all His promises are true and all His promises are going to come to pass, is this a country that is still worth fighting for? Because I've got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit tired of hearing about politics. I'm a little bit tired about hearing about those things. Do you know why I'm tired of it? Because God is never the answer in any of those arguments. It's always, what can we do? I'm going to tell you, I'm not interested in what we can do. I'm interested in what He can do.
Amen.
And the only way He's going to do something is if my people. The only way God's going to do something is if my people, is if my people, is if my people will do what I've asked them to do. I will keep that promise. Look at these verses. I get excited about this. You look at these verses and I get excited about what God can do with America still today. What can God do with you in America today? Time after time, time after time, time after time, you can look at Scripture and see where people, just a few, made a giant difference in the world. But do you know why? Brother Carl, let me ask you a question. Sir, is it not easier for me just to sit here and let you go fight? Is it not easier just to sit down and watch all the other people go out to battle? Brother Marty, I didn't serve in a submarine. I didn't. I can't imagine that was the greatest thing in the whole wide world. I got to believe there was challenges. You're a big fella. Seems to me like there'd be challenges in a submarine. Seems to me like Carl should have been in a submarine. I don't know. That poses challenges that I never had to face. That poses challenges that if he wasn't standing his post for a Christian nation, if he wasn't standing his post fighting in the battles that he should fight in, if he wasn't standing a post and now retired from the Navy, what could I do? You say, well, it's just one man. Is it? Is it? Because aren't you glad that Marty stood his post? Think about this for a moment. What happened if all throughout history nobody stood their post? I'm heading somewhere. Just stay with me. What happens if all throughout history my grandpa didn't stand his post? Huh? What happens if General Washington didn't stand his post? Well, General Washington was important. He stood his post. He stood his post. God was with him. He stood his post. What happens if all throughout the life and all throughout history God does not keep His promise and God does not take care of America and let the gospel be propagated throughout all the world because of this great country that these great people fought for? What happens? Because God tells me in this verse, all the promises of God in Him are yea. His promises are yes. And His promises are finished. Amen. I look at this nation, I'm tired of people giving up on it. I'm tired of it. We can't build a big work. You lie. You lie. Why? Because God can get involved. Why did people run up to Canada? Huh? Because it was easier for them to watch people go fight. I'd rather be in the fight. See, we're in a battle right now. It may not be a war with guns. It might be a war with spiritual warfare. It's a war that's worth fighting. It's a war worth taking care of. It's a war worth standing your post. My question is, have you stood your post? Have you stood your post when all the rest of the men and ladies went out and stood their post and fought for this country, for the things of God?
It is said that they came over here for tax relief. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? I don't know about you. I haven't been relieved of any taxes in a very long time. Well, they came over because they're getting taxed. No, they came over here because they wanted to worship God. And they didn't want the English to tell them how to do it. Aren't you glad? This nation was founded with Christian people doing Christian things, talking about a Christian nation. That's the nation that's been handed to us by these great people fighting for the things of God. I've got to ask you a question, though. Son, are you willing to stand your post? Are you willing to stand your post? Mitchell, God's got a post for you. You may not like it. You may not understand, but God's got a post for you, son. I'm so sick and tired of watching draft dodgers. Boy, that's good stuff right there, preacher. I'll amen myself. Amen, brother. I'm so sick and tired of watching draft dodgers. By the way, that used to be a bad word. Now we make him president. Anyways, praise God. Anything that you have that's worth having is worth fighting for. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. It's worth fighting for. I double dog diggly ding dong dare you to let somebody do something to your family. I guarantee you, you stand up and fight for your family. But will you stand up and fight for your God? What do these verses have to do with that? Because God gave us a promise. If we'll fight for our country, He will hear and help. All the promises of God are yes. Eternal life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? One day the fighting will be over. By the way, that's not today. Did you know that? One day the fighting will be over. It'll be so wonderful when we go into the portals of glory. Man, I can't wait for that. You think Hawaii's beautiful, and I do. Hey, there's lost people over there. Somebody's got to care. They have no winter there. Man, they're smart. Global warming. I've been praying for that for a long time. Heaven's beautiful, but it's nothing like heaven, Hawaii. It's hard to pull them apart, folks. Hawaii's beautiful, but heaven's perfect. And He promised us heaven. If we'll believe in Him, He promised us heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Do you know that if you get saved, He promised you eternal security? One of the most frightening things in the whole wide world that people still don't believe in eternal security. One of the most frightening things in the whole wide world, they believe every time they sin, they could be pulled away from their glorious God. I'm going to tell you right now, God never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's a promise. It's a promise. Aren't you glad He gave you these promises? Aren't you glad He gave you the promise of protection? Aren't you glad He gave you the promise of guidance? If you'll look to Him for guidance. You've got to let God guide you. This nation was guided by God, by people that desired to be guided by God. They had to go across the Atlantic Ocean. Boy, this is good stuff. I'm just going to stay here for a minute. They had to go across the Atlantic Ocean to be able to worship their God as God wanted them to worship. We won't cross the street. I'm glad this building's full today, but God promised if we'll worship Him, He's going to be here in the midst of us. That's a promise. And there's folks that are home today for whatever reason. Browns are winning. I don't care. Pick what you want. It is the first time in a long time. Glory to God. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no reason to not stand your post. It's no reason to walk away from a nation that needs us to stand now. Who else is going to do it? I got all the way to MEPS 15th floor. I was rejected because God had a different post for me to stand. As I look across the room and I see all the veterans whose lives that they put on the line. Oh, they may not have died, but by the way, that does not make them less of a servant. That does not make them less of a soldier. I had people tell me during a funeral, well, he never fought in a combat area. So what? What? You sign your name on the line, you become a hero of mine. Amen. Write that down. That's a good little rhyme for you. Why? Because I couldn't go, and they didn't know where they were going when they signed up. They could have went out the very next day and went in the middle of the darkest desert and had to fight for my freedom. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not willing to have your lives be in vain. Because I too have a post. And that post is to stand here and spit and snort and scream and do everything I can to get you to understand how good God is. They went across the ocean, suffered winter. I'm not talking about the winters we have here where you crank the furnace up a couple degrees. I'm talking a winter that killed you if you didn't do it right. They fought disease. They fought starvation. They fought all these problems. Why? Because their God wanted them to stand opposed. Aren't you glad they stood it? We owe our lives to the people that went before us and fought for a nation that is worth fighting for. Why do we want to have tent revivals? Why do we want to have all these things? Because the more people that hear about Jesus Christ and are encouraged in the things of God, the more people that hear that and partake of the promises that God has given us, the better chance this nation has. And by the way, it's worth fighting for. Why do we have, oh my soul, I'm so sick and tired of you giving us bills for repair. And you may think this is money-minded, but I don't care what you think of me right now. I really don't. Standing a post is making sure that bus gets back on the road. Say what you want to say. But those kids, eternity's in the balance. I think we can give up a hamburger. See, it's amazing to me that we're more than willing. Well, preacher, I'm glad you're giving 100. That way I don't have to give. Come on. Yeah, see, the giving started. Now we said, amen, stop. Now, preacher, amen, stop. I got to give something. Oh, the amens are going to stop. Well, let me tell you something. God's all about you giving. Why? And how can you prove that to me, preacher? Show me. I don't think I have to show you the picture of Christ going to the cross and giving everything he had. Christ could certainly be accused of standing his post. All the promises of God are finished. The promises of God cannot be altered. Aren't you glad? We talked in Sunday school about the two greatest verses in the Bible. The verses that are so, everything in the whole Bible hinges upon those two verses. You would say, well, it's got to be so, for God so loved the world. Nope, it's not. It's got to be that Christ came and died on his cross for us. No, that's not it. That's not the greatest. The greatest is, I am the Lord your God. I change not. It is the God that cannot lie. 1 Timothy 1, 2. Or 1 Titus 1, Titus 1, 2. That is the verse. That is the verse that's most important. God still has not changed. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm getting a little sick and tired of people that believe that we can't do something with this country. I get a little sick and tired of hearing about the because Obama's in office, our hands are tied. Your hands are tied because you offered your hands up to the rope. That's good, too. I'll amen myself there, too. Amen, preacher! You're right, preacher! I've tied myself down. Nobody's coming to your door saying you can't talk about Christ. Nobody's coming to your door putting you in handcuffs and putting you in prison. Nobody's coming to your door. You should tell people about Christ. Why? Because Christ stood his post, and we ought to stand ours. There's people that need to know about him and his salvation. There's people that need to know about him and the blood atonement. There's people that need to know about him and his wondrous love. There's people that need to know about him and his great promises. What did these people in this room fight for? They fought for a Christian nation. And I worry that we're ready to give our nation over to the devil just so we don't have to fight. Why do I talk about the Bible so much? You know how many friends I lose over the Bible? I don't care. I lose friends with that Bible because it's something worth fighting for. And I'm going to tell you, all throughout the ages, people have died because of that book. And I'm not willing to stand aside and say, you know what, if you'll just continue to be my friend, I'll go ahead and agree with you. Now, I don't need friends that bad. I worry about this nation and watching these folks stand. And I love how Brother Lang at the end of his poem said, God had something for him to do. God had something for him to do. Well, I got news for you. God's got something for you to do too. If my people If my people, his promises cannot be changed, his promises are finished, they cannot be altered, and God never goes back on his word. I'm glad I know, praise the Lord, what his word is. What's wondrous, all the promises that are written in this book are available to his children. Every last one of them. Every last promise contained in the scripture is available to you. To you. Eternal life is available to you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a promise to me. You know, I got to be honest. I'm probably the only parent in this room that has broken a promise to their child. I promise I'll give you whatever you're asking for as long as you'll be quiet. That's what I do like a lot. My wife, she's a major stickler on promises. She promises something, it doesn't matter what in the world's going on. She's like, I promised. Yeah, well, I lied. I'm the only one, I know that, but I've got to be honest with you. I've made some promises that I've gone back on. I've made some promises that I've changed. I've made some promises that maybe were too inconvenient for me. I've made some promises that didn't work into my schedule. I've made some promises that maybe I didn't want to keep, and therefore I did not keep them. I've made some promises such as these. But Jesus never made one promise that he didn't keep. He said, I'm going to go to the cross, and he did. He said, I'm going to give myself for a sacrifice for sin, and he did. He said, I'm going to save Dave Ballard one day, and he did. Somebody worth fighting for. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise of God. And he's never going to change that. That's something worth fighting for. You know, it's amazing to me that we are so willing as Christians to tuck tail and run every time something comes up that goes against our Lord. You know I'm right. I'm glad the amen stopped right there. If somebody's going to take the Lord's name in vain, why in the world don't you go ahead and say something? God's still important to me. The older I get, the more ornery I get. That's just the way it works out. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it's getting to be. I'm sick and tired of the world winning. I want my Lord to win a little bit more, and he'll win a little bit more if he's got a little bit more people fighting for him. Church full of Army members right here, Marines or Air Force or whatever you want. You can't call a Marine a Navy person. I'll guarantee you, they'll get violent and mad. You call a jarhead a squid and he'll get violent. I'll tell you that right now. Praise the Lord. I meant no offense by that, by the way. I can't call those nicknames. I was disallowed. So, but I know this. I don't want the battles that these soldiers fought to go in vain. We always talk about how close the rapture is, and it probably is. I mean, really, it's pretty difficult to say it's not close. But can I help you? It's not here yet. And I don't believe the rapture is going to happen until the last person that's going to get saved gets saved. I don't believe the rapture is going to happen until Jesus is done with his work here. And I hate to tell you, you've been recruited. You can't get unsaved now. So you've been recruited. Have we stood our post? Have we stood our post for Christ? Have we stood our post for the things that have been won for us? I didn't do any of it. But I'm sure glad somebody did. What did these promises do for us? Can you look at Romans chapter 4? All these promises that God has given us are available to all his people. All of these promises, matter of fact, they're available to the lost too if they'll just accept him as Savior. What does this do for us? If you look at Romans chapter 4, I love this. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That gives you a rock solid foundation, knowing that Jesus Christ has given us the assurance and the rest that you need to go ahead and do something for God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm wrapping this up. Thank you. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verse 4. And we're going to turn over to one more verse, and I'm going to wrap it all up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Those are given to us. The Lord God, did you do anything to earn any of the promises God has given you? Come on, you got to be honest. There's no way. Let me tell you something right now. Brother Marty, I never did anything to deserve what you did for me for the country. Never. Never one time. Brother Lang, I never did. I see him playing his mandolin with his gimped up hand. And I'm going to tell you, he's wonderful. I love it, love it, love it. You know why I love that so much? Because his hand is that way because of me. Come on now. Wrap your head around that. He's that way. He got shot in his head for you. Well, come on. He did for you. You're part of this country, don't you tell me. He did it for you, and he didn't know who I was, and I'm so glad. And I'm going to wrap this up in 1 second. Just stay with me. These precious promises, this country, this free country that I was born in by the grace of God. You could have been born anywhere in the whole wide world, but God had you born right here in America. Aren't you glad? A McDonald's on every corner, isn't that wonderful, son? You can go to, listen, you can go from state to state to state. You can go throughout this country. You've got rights. Good night. You were born in the greatest place in the whole wide world. These great and precious promises were given to us that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm all done. Maybe. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, they're given to us, is that not correct? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I don't understand. What is all this? I'm just going to sum it up with one thought. And I've given you this thought before, but this is something that means a lot to me, so you're going to have to bear with me. Brother Lang, Brother Gnant, Jimmy Furness, Brother Kennedy, Miss Joselle, any of you that have served, any of you that have served, widows of those that have served, any of you have served, your loved ones fought for me, Brother Carl, you fought for me, and whether you were in combat or not is irrelevant to me, by the way. If you were in the service, that was good enough for me. Any one of these people that has served in their country, they served for a man that they did not know. See, they didn't know me. They didn't know who they were fighting for. They didn't fight for me. That was World War II. They fought for you in World War II. They just didn't know you yet. All these people went and fought. My grandpa fought for me long before he ever fought for me, or long before he ever knew me. He marched in the Death March of Bataan. I was not even alive. But he knew that he had to fight for something worth fighting for. Here's a thought. He fought for a wonderful country. And the United States of America is the greatest country in the whole wide world. I didn't earn the freedom that he bought for me. I didn't earn the freedom that you bought for me, Brother Martin. I didn't do it. I didn't earn it. I tried. I wanted to. But I didn't earn it. I'm enjoying it, though. I enjoy the fact that I get to stand up here and spit, and you got to wipe off your faces after I'm done. Praise God. My DNA is all over you. I didn't fight for that freedom, but they didn't know. They didn't know me. But there is one. Think about this for a minute. There was one who did know you. I'm not worth anything. I'm not. I'm a sinner. So are you. I'm not worth anything. And the way this country's going, there's more and more people that you just wouldn't think you'd want to fight for them. But I promise you this, they're worth fighting for too. And as Jesus took that cross on himself and walked that road to Calvary, he knew who I was. He knew, Brother Colton, that I was a sinner. He knew, Brother Colton, I'd get saved at 11 and live my life like the devil. I don't have that great testimony where I got saved and got right. I got saved and got messy. I don't have that testimony. And Christ went to that cross knowing that you was a street kid. Christ went to that cross knowing you're alive. Christ went to that cross knowing, Brother Edwards, what you were doing. He knew you, and he still stood his post. That thought makes me want to live right. Don't you look at me and say you can go out and live wrong and be right. Don't you tell me that. Why do we uphold the veterans here? I don't care what people think. By the way, I get the biggest kick out of people say, you ought to keep that out of your church. You know what? I'd rather just keep you out of our church. Thank you. I'm going to tell you right now, I love the veterans. They're my heroes. Say what you want. They're my heroes. They provided something for me I couldn't provide for myself. But they didn't know me. But Christ did. And he knows you. And he looked down and saw you. Put your name in there. Put your name in there, son. He knew who you were. He knew you, son. He knew you. And you're a pretty cool kid. I don't know a whole lot that you do wrong. I might go talk to your mother. She probably has a list. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know you that well, but I know one that does. And that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went ahead and stood his post anyhow. Jesus Christ, knowing who I was, still stood his post. Jesus Christ, knowing who I was going to be. And what I will say, you say, well, you're a preacher. I'll tell you something right now. I lived my life like a dirty dog long before I ever became a preacher. So I think I'm just going to do my best to get the filth out of my life, to live my life for something bigger than me, to live my life for Jesus Christ, who in the face of certain death, because he knew he was going to die, in the face of certain death, because he made the rules, in the face of certain death, did not shirk the responsibility given to him, just like all these veterans didn't shirk the responsibilities given to them, and they stood their post. Jesus Christ then went and got himself hung on a post for you and for me, so we can partake in the beautiful, precious, wondrous promises of God to give us rest, to give us hope, and to get us ready to fight for something. Because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. I hope and pray everyone in this room shows up and takes their post for the fight that lies ahead. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've got a country worth fighting for. We've got a Savior worth fighting for. We've got a salvation worth fighting for. We've got a word worth fighting for. We've got so many things worth fighting for. I hope and pray you find one of those things to just go ahead and fight for. Because the battle's coming, if not already here. And I'm so thankful I'm in a room that I can trust every single one of you next to me in a foxhole fighting for Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. We're all in this together. We are. And I think we've got something worth fighting for. Those blessed, precious promises of Christ. If you're not saved in here today, he died for you. He knew who you were. How's that possible? He's God. Why do you question that? He's God. He knows everything. And knowing who you were, he still died for you. Knowing who you were, he still went to the cross for you. Knowing who you were, he loved you enough to say, it is finished. I've completed that promise. I hope and pray that people partake of that very promise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the armies of men and ladies that have fought for my freedom. I thank you so much for the veterans that are represented here today and those in active duty. That we've got a lot of boys that are in active duty right now. I'm thankful for them. Lord, I pray with all my heart that we would stand our post. I pray with all my heart that we won't take time to do the worldly things and to do the things that your scripture tells us about, that we would just go ahead and stand our post and accept those promises and love them and fight for them. Because, Lord God, I still believe that our country can do great things. I still believe, Lord, our church can do great things. I still believe, Lord, that you want to do great things. So, Lord, help us. We're already enlisted. Help us, Lord, to stand our post. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know? They've enlisted. They've accepted the Lord as their Savior. They know for sure that if they died right now, they've accepted that blessed promise of eternal life and accepted Jesus as their Savior. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. How many would be willing to say, you know what, I really don't know that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I would like to know. See, the Bible is very clear, and the Lord is very giving. He desperately wants you to be saved. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you're going to do. There's nothing that you're doing right now that can separate you from this love. All you got to do is realize that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't wait to get right. Let Jesus get you right. So how many can say, I will not come to you. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I give you my word. I just want you to be saved. I just want you to know him as Savior. Would you be willing to put your hand up real big and tall and say, you know what, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. We have people that would love to help you. Would there be one? Would there be one? Then that means I'm talking to an army in this room right now that the Lord has literally drafted. He's earned you. He's earned your service. He's earned our giving of our lives. He's earned it because he gave his life. He earned it. And we ought to stand our post for him. I hope and pray today that the altar is not empty. I hope and pray today that people come and decide to give their life to the Lord and stand their post for him, because this country and this Christianity and this Bible and this Christ is worth fighting for. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, please bless the invitation as it begins. Lord, please bless these folks as they come. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all stand.